Stuart McIntosh with a reminder of today's main world news. The US House of Representatives has voted for troop withdrawals from Iraq only hours after President Bush appealed for more time for his policies there to work. A minister from the new British government of Gordon Brown has indicated a change in direction in foreign policy. North Korea has called for direct talks with the United States over security in the Korean Peninsula. And those are our main stories here on World Briefing, coming to you from the BBC. Now it's time for analysis, in which we look at one story in detail. This week, the international policing organisation Interpol criticised Britain for failing to check travellers arriving in the country against Interpol's data. Interpol says the policy could let in people intent on attacking targets in Britain. Vincent Dowd asks whether tighter identity checks on international travellers are now needed.
Britain isn't checking the names of people arriving in the country against Interpol lists of stolen passports, according to the head of Interpol, Ronald Noble. Mr. Noble, an American who served in the US Treasury in Bill Clinton's time, told the BBC it's a major security failing which could benefit crime and terrorism suspects.
In our database, we have over 7 million stolen passports. And our point is that each traveler entering the UK and any other country ought to have his or her passport checked against the world's largest database on stolen passports. And Switzerland does it. They check it 300,000 times per month and have had over 100 hits per month.
And Mr. Noble said some nations need to sort out their security priorities.
While all of us who travel, I've been to 109 countries. We travel, we get in line, we take off our shoes, our belts, we get bottles of water, and yet our passports aren't checked against a global database and people are allowed to enter countries. With these passports, it's something that makes me very nervous.
America has been pushing the issue of border security internationally since 9/11. Yet to date, fewer than 20 nations have signed up to the Interpol database. The USA has been tightening security at its airports to ensure it has key information about who's entering from abroad. In particular, the US wants to know that people in airport immigration queues are who they say they are. New technology has provided part of the answer, says Jack Riley, homeland security expert with the US think tank, the RAND Corporation.
The US has moved very strongly in the direction of biometrically encrypted passports. The premise there is that a biometric of some sort, be it a fingerprint, a face scan, or some other kind of approved biometric, creates basically an unseverable link between your travel documents and your identity. And currently, it is required to travel into the United States that you have a biometrically enabled passport, particularly from those countries where you don't have to obtain a visa in order to travel to the United States.
Fully biometric passports containing fingerprints will be introduced around the EU in 2009. In the US, experts, including Jack Riley, believe these high-tech passports and the vast amount of data they can access will do much to keep the bombers out.
One of the reasons that the emphasis of US policy is on keeping the bad guys out is, I think at this point, the majority of the threat is on the outside looking in and trying to figure out how to get in. So while there is concern about the potential rise of homegrown threats, if you will, inside the border, the emphasis is properly on defending the borders and trying to keep the problems outside.
So the Americans believe the threat comes from abroad. If you're in Britain, you may not believe those people Jack Riley called the bad guys are somewhere else. 2 years ago, the four young men who killed 52 people in attacks on London's transport system were UK citizens living in Britain. Another difference between Europe and America is that there's greater scepticism in Europe about the integrity of the technology. Bob Ayres, himself half American, is a security expert at Chatham House, one of Britain's most respected think tanks on international affairs. He says a huge database tracking identities worldwide sounds attractive, but will fail because of human fallibility and corruption.
Let's assume we've got a central registry of all of the passport data of everybody in Europe and Asia, and the database itself is 100% secure. No one can break into it except for authorized users. You now have, 10, 20, 30, 40,000 immigration people all over Europe and Asia that have access to this database, ostensibly for purposes associated with their job. But they can also access that information and sell that information to others.
Bob Ayres also doubts that anyone intent on committing a major outrage would travel on stolen or forged documents. Experience, he says, shows that such people use more sophisticated methods.
If we're talking about using some sort of international registry as a way to intercept professional terrorists that are moving across national boundaries, it's not going to contribute too much to it because they will use new documentation or documentation that's been taken out under a different name. So they won't be on a watch list, if you will, or they won't be on a list of lost passports. They'll be traveling on a perfectly valid passport.
There are those who say a reliance on the developing science of biometrics, a supposedly foolproof way of identifying a person by their physical characteristics, is misplaced. Adam Laurie is a UK specialist in digital security. He says currently anyone with the technology and know-how can illicitly read data from a supposedly secure encrypted passport and abuse the information they pick up.
There is a cryptographic key which locks the content of the passport, so I can't read out your passport unless I know who you are. But the key is made up of potentially publicly available information. So if you are a specific target of mine, I will be able to work out what the key is and read the contents of your passport out.
My name and my date of birth, something like that?
It's made up of your passport number, your date of birth, and the expiry date of the passport. Basically, if you have those three bits of information, you can definitely log into my passport and read off the digital image, the fingerprint, whatever else might be stored in there.
So, could attempts to tighten border controls be doomed by weaknesses in technology and by the fact that no database is 100% accurate? Ian Kearns of the Institute of Public Policy Research in London, a think tank generally close to the governing Labour Party, says no, such fears are groundless. The IPPR is in the middle of a big investigation into national security in the modern world. Ian Kearns describes what some will see as a paradox, that to remain free and democratic, a country needs more knowledge than ever about who's inside its borders.
One of the key issues here is the scale of people movement that we face today. In a context of globalization, with lots of people movement, people being worried about terrorists coming into the country, people being worried about immigration and immigrants coming in to access public services and so on, a country that wants to be open needs to demonstrate that it can also be secure and fair, and strong forms of identification and strong border control and tracking of who's coming in and out of the country, what is the purpose of them being here, what services are they entitled to access. All of those things are important to ensuring for people that there is fairness and there is security.
Ian Kearns says the ability to process vast amounts of data has shifted the balance between the citizen and the state in favour of the state. Yet he says that needn't damage civil liberties.
States today can conduct surveillance, mass surveillance of citizens more effectively, more cheaply and less intrusively than ever before in history. However, there are significant benefits that come with the collection of more data and the use of more data by public authorities, everything from providing more effective security to improving and personalising public services. So there are trade-offs to be made here, and the key, really, if the state is to know more about us as citizens, is that citizens should be more in control of the state. In the end, it comes down to who holds the information, who are they accountable to, what safeguards and protections are in place to protect the citizen in that context.
New ways of tracking travellers through the passport system are here, and they'll only get more sophisticated. They undoubtedly offer advantages in terms of security. They may not be perfect, but they're not going to go away.
Analysis written and presented by Vincent Dowd. Our main world news, the US House of Representatives has voted in favour of taking American combat troops out of Iraq by next April. And there'll be more on that story in our world news just 11 minutes away from now. This is the BBC World Service.